morning, Evan. You're quite right about it being an emotive issue.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Can I, incidentally, can I just clarify one thing from the very outset, which is, I know Tesco and Next think that I have been, I was intending to say that they were unscrupulous employers who didn't pay the minimum wage. I never intended to say that. That was never part of my speech. That's in two completely different sections. And I fully accept, of course, that Next and Tesco's indeed often go the extra mile to try and recruit more local workers. And the difficulty is, I would say, that we have such... the way we regulate our economy and the labour market in the UK has meant that sometimes there are negative sides to migration in terms of the labour market, in particular for those who are within, spitting distance of the national minimum wage.
You're retreating from your case made yesterday.
I think the Times, for instance, today says that I call Next and Tesco unscrupulous employers.
I don't think you used that word, did you? No.
Well, I used the word unscrupulous employers,
but not about other Tesco people, because
I think there is an important point here,
Let's start at the beginning, because you're sort of jumping way ahead. Just take us through what Tesco did, what you said Tesco did, what you think you got wrong, and what you stand by.
I haven't made my speech yet.
But you pre-released some of your speech to the Telegraph and to the papers, and so let's just go through what actually happened around their distribution centre.
Well, the very simple point is that both Tesco and Next have had to use non-UK nationals in their labour in their new operations. In Next's case, in two summers in a row, in relatively large numbers. And my question is, and always was going to be, and still remains today, when we have 1 million unemployed youngsters under the age of 24 in this country, and when we have a very high level of long-term unemployment, is there a way in which we can regulate labour markets in this country better so that foreign migrant workers are not exploited, as happens in some cases? I'm not saying that specifically about Tesco's and Next, but also make sure that local workers stand a better chance of getting those jobs.
Right. So that's your basic point.
Yep.
Now, what happened about Tesco? So just take us through the case.
I just want to get
specifics are very, very interesting. And I think they do raise the points that people can then understand rather than in abstract generalities. So let's take the case of Tesco. I'm quoting your pre-release speech here. Take the case of Tesco, who recently decided to move their distribution centre in Kent. It wasn't Kent. You acknowledge that.
Yes, I don't know where Kent came into it. It was always Essex.
Right. So... okay, so you didn't pre-release the paragraph that had the word Kent in it then?
I don't know how the word Kent got into it, but let's
not get stuck down on that. Okay.
Well, you're the one who's wanted to get
detail. Then you went on to say,
yeah,
the new centre
is larger.
Well,
I haven't said anything yet, but yes.
No, but look, are you denying that you have somehow?
No, I'm not saying that it has nothing to do with me at all.
But of course, Evan, this is your speech you're
wanting to get into. Very specific details which are contested, and I'm not sure that that's all that fruitful. All I know is that as I've gone round many constituencies, including Harlow in Essex, the number of people who've come up to me and raised issues about migration and its effect on the labour market in this country, and this is an issue which I think neither Conservative Party nor Liberal Democrat are likely to tackle very well, because they were opposed to the introduction of the national minimum wage in the first place. Thank God we did introduce it, but I think that there is a pressure down because some employers can bring people from further afield in low-wage economies elsewhere in the European Union, bring them into the United Kingdom, effectively trafficking them. This is not Tesco and Next that I'm talking about. They can do that, put them in accommodation which is wholly unsuitable for anybody to live in today, but is okay for some people for 6 to 8 weeks, perhaps, to live in. And that is exploitation of the migrant workers, and it undercuts local workers. So all I'm saying to a whole string of different industries like construction and care and hospitality
is, we've got to step up to the plate. You're not the first person to have that concern and to express it in roughly the similar terms.
Yeah.
What is interesting is that yesterday you were citing particular examples of Tesco and Next. Interesting examples, because they raised, if you like, the point of view of the business, because they say, well, we try to recruit British people to work these night shifts that we want recruited, and we just can't get the staff. We can't get people to do it.
And maybe that's
the reason why you're recoiling from these specific examples today is that actually this is a rather difficult argument, rather complicated argument, because employers do find that often they have to employ the foreign staff to do the work.
Yes, I'm agreeing with you, Evan.
Okay, good.
Which is that I fully accept, and in the fullness of my speech, which not everybody's yet seen, I make clear that this is not an easy place for many employers to find. You know, Tesco,
which
and
is why,
Next
although you use the word
in the broad. Yes, in the broad measure, good employers, they often go the extra mile to try and include local workers, but it has proved difficult. Mm. So now, but my speech covers lots of other things as well.
We're only talking about this bit, but you did use the word unfair, and it does sound a bit unscrupulous to close down one distribution plant, open another one, offer the old staff a new job at the new one on a vastly lower wage.
When you can't get them to
staff it up with foreigners. Now, in what way would that not be unscrupulous?
Well, I mean, Tesco deny that that's what's happening. So, I think there are various different versions of what has gone on.
But you don't think that is unscrupulous? You wouldn't consider that unscrupulous? Because that's what you described yesterday. And
No, that's not what I described yet. I don't think it is unscrupulous to employ foreign workers. Indeed, I say at several points in my speech that the contribution that migrant workers have made to this country has been dramatic. And I'm not going to engage in any kind of xenophobic attack on migrant workers in this country.
The main lesson is you don't pre-release bits of speeches that are half-baked, sloppily drafted, and then recoil from them the next day when people have answered back. Better to just do the speech, properly research once and only once, isn't it, rather than this kind of... I mean, it's impossible for us to... We're quoting at stuff that was attributed to you, and you're saying, well, no, I didn't say it. It was all in the Telegraph. It's just impossible to otherwise, isn't it?
No, the Telegraph conflated two pieces. That is true. However, I'm not saying that. I was about to finish my sentence, which was going to say it is entirely my responsibility for my speech and the briefing of my speech beforehand. But the basic point that I'm trying to make, and I fully accept, incidentally, that Labour made mistakes when we were in government on migration, in particular when the new A8 countries joined the European Union in 2004. It was right that they should join the EU. Everybody supported that, all political parties in this country, but France, Italy and Germany sensibly said that they would have transitional controls for 7 years. We didn't do that. A larger number of people, percentage of people, came to the UK than anybody had anticipated. So I do accept that we've made mistakes on this, but I just want to refocus the debate on immigration, because I don't think there's any point in driving vans around and with bizarre messages on them, or engaging in stop and search on a pretty, as far as I can see, racially profiling basis. That's not going to tackle the real problems about illegal entry into the country, nor is it going to deal with what I still hold is the single biggest problem, which is that for workers who have to, local workers who have to pay a mortgage, have long-term costs, and can't afford simply to live eight men to a two-bedroom flat, they end up being priced out of the labour market, and I would argue that foreign migrant workers end up being exploited.
Okay, can we just move on very briefly to the other sort of bigger political story, if you like, at the moment, which is the rather generalised concern that Labour's message isn't getting across, that there's a sort of summer lull, really, in which Coalition has been very busy explaining its arguments. And on most issues, its arguments appear to have been more prominent and better understood than Labour's. I just wonder whether you're happy with the way things are going at the moment and the way the party is presenting its case.
I think this is the second time I've been on the Today programme in the last 10 days, isn't it, Evan? I mean, you did the interview with me last time. And look, we are at a point which British politics has never faced. We, for the first time ever, we have a fixed-term parliament. We're 2 years off a general election. Normally, by this stage, you lot in the media would all be writing stories and doing interviews about will the general election be this October or not. And so I think Labour has a strong and coherent message. And I would argue quite the contrary of what you've just said about the government. Indeed, a large chunk of my speech today is going to be laying out where I think the government has failed on immigration.
Yeah, but you're just one, and with respect, some might say you've slightly botched this speech in that it was pre-released was misunderstood, or the Telegraph botched it for you. I don't know.
I'm not blaming
anybody. But on the bigger narrative, for example, what is Labour's critique of the the coalition economic strategy? Just give me the sort of the one sentence pitch on what is the critique? What is the critique now?
The way the government has run the economy has meant that we ended up with a completely unnecessary period, which, if it hasn't been a recession, has felt like a recession to most people because wages have fallen a long way behind inflation. And as the figures showed yesterday from the House of Commons library, that wages, we've seen a more dramatic fall in the real value of wages in this country than anywhere else in Europe. So my attack on the government would be the decisions they made right at the beginning in 2010 meant that most people in this country have suffered a longer period of sustained economic depression than was necessary, and that's why I wouldn't trust them into the future.
Do you agree with Andy Burnham that you've got till next spring to sort of make these messages, crispen these messages up, so to speak?
Are you saying that that message wasn't crisp enough?
Well, you've said that very well, but many people would say that message hasn't been set out quite as clearly by others in your party, either that or...
Well, I disagree with that. I think we've been making that argument very clearly. August is often devoted to silly stories. Sometimes process gets more interesting than substance during August. And that's certainly my experience of the last 48 hours.
Chris Bryant. Thank you.